Bread, that this house may never know hunger. Salt, that life may always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Very interesting.
But not half as much fun as a May Wine Festival. Especially when May brings the bottle.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, welcoming you to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, your one chance to totally explore the vine and to know everything of all the fruits that are hanging off of it. We've got a great show here today. We have two very educated guests, in case you get tired of hearing me, joining us. One is Eric Asimov. He is the critic for the New York Times. He is the everything wine man that New York Times has to offer. The other is going to be Jeff Smith. He is with Kelseyville Wine Company, which is a custom crush facility, and we'll get into explaining all that later. So, as we can tell, we have a great show lined up. And now, of course, is always the time where we digress a little bit and see what our theme is going to be today. Well, today we have such dynamic guests and so many strange ways to look at things. One of the things we're going to talk about today is changing wine packages. And something we have gone over and over in the show is labels, how to read a label, how to discern a label, what goes on labels, why it's on labels. Well, we're entering into a new tradition in the wine business. Actually, it's not that new, but what we're about to start seeing is wine in kegs. This can give a whole new definition to a fraternity kegger by the time it's said and done. But we're getting ready to throw the packaging out the window, and you've got some wineries around the country who are putting their wine in little torpedo-style kegs to ship them around the country. So next time you decide you want a glass of Chardonnay, they'll go and pull the tap handle for you. The other interesting thing we're going to investigate today are custom crush facilities, and we've had a number of questions on that. So I'm going to lead this off actually with an email in the first segment, and this will help explain what we're looking at. This email is from Darcy in Waco, and Darcy writes, "Do all wines come from wineries? When I look at my total wine, it just seems that there are too many wines for there to be from so many different geographical locations." Well, Darcy, what I think you're asking is dead on point to something we're going to discuss today, and that's the fact that just because the wine is on the shelf does not mean it came from this great winery. There's a lot of facilities out there that do custom crush, and what that means is that they buy juice from different producers or different vineyard holders. They create their own bottle, they create their own label, and voila, we turn the tap on, we put wine in the bottle, we cork it, we're gone. There is never actually a physical winery or a physical address associated with that. So that is where we're going today. We're going to change your perspective on the crush and how you look at wine. Once again, this show is devoted to taking all the mystery, all the mystique, all the snob appeal away from the bottle. And I think by the time you think about wine being in kegs and the fact that there aren't really wineries behind a lot of those bottles, that ought to help demystify for a fair amount. Well, we have to have wine recommendations. God knows we wine a lot here on the show, but we do actually drink in our spare time so that you don't have to. Yes, we take one for the team. And in doing so this week, I figured we needed to do a tribute to the greatest golf event that's held every year, and that, of course, would have been the Masters. And like so many of you, I sat around, watched the Masters, and doing so, I picked out two very, very special bottle of wine to do so. The first one, Arnold Palmer Chardonnay. Hats off to the old guy, even though we didn't see him this go-round. Arnold Palmer Chardonnay is created by Luna Vineyards in California, actually in Napa Valley. And Arnold Palmer Chardonnay is very robust. It's very refreshing. It has great apple flavor, nice oak to it, and it won't break the bank. I think you can pick it up at your Mega Mart for about $12. But very, very colorful label, very, very good presentation, and a great thing to watch, especially when, I don't know, Masters starting around 2:30. It's that good 2:30 to 4:30 timeline. The other wine I picked was Faldo Shiraz. You can definitely see a theme here. As the Masters got tight and we started talking about a playoff, we had to open up Nick Faldo's entree into the wine world. Nick Faldo currently does a Sauvignon Blanc, a Cabernet, and a Shiraz. His Shiraz was dead on, very spicy, very jammy, had a great backbone to it, had nice tannic structure in the sense that it didn't overwhelm you, but it definitely wouldn't get lost in the glass. And Nick, hats off to you. Nice job in moderating the Masters. We actually understood it for once. So there we go. We had our Masters theme with Arnold Palmer, Nick Faldo stepping in. And of course, if that wasn't enough and I decided we went into a playoff and I got thirstier, I could have had some Luke Donald wine. I could have had some Greg Norman wine, and that would be Greg Norman either from Australia or California, or I could have had some David Frost wine. So all of our golfers are well represented. You figure all these guys spend so much time out in the dirt in the greens that they might as well get out in the vineyard. So I am sure I probably have missed one of our golfing greats. Feel free to let me know if I did. You can reach us at 877-4-CRUSH-1, or you can email us at info@winecrush.com. Also, I encourage everyone out there, check us out on Facebook. You can find us at Laura Lawson, and you can join a whole bunch of other of your tippling friends to make fun of me, to give me suggestions on topics, so that I can make sure I'm on point to teach you everything you want to know about wine. So it's interesting to look at everything that's happening in the wine world. There's so many great stories right now. There's so much political controversy, whether it's the type of packaging that's out there, whether how it's supposed to be labeled, whether they're going to charge us based on that whole packaging concept. And of course, these are things we're going to look into later today. But I think it goes back to show the one thing that America is moving towards. As a country, we are looking at demystifying wine. We are looking at taking the snob appeal away. We are looking at making it approachable to others. When you and me and my producer, Kent, we can go out to California right now, pick out a bottle, pick out a label, and go ahead and say, oh, I like that group of grapes over there, and make our own wine, obviously it's getting more approachable. When we can go into our local bars, instead of having just Sam Adams, Sierra Nevada, and Pyramid beer on tap, I can find my Chardonnay or my Pinot Noir on tap. Tell me that doesn't go a long way towards making everybody more comfortable with drinking wine.
I agree.
Why, thank you, Kent.
But tell me this, too. Does it affect the overall quality or taste?
Absolutely not, surprisingly. In fact, from what I've read about the kegs and the few I have experienced, because there's nitrogen involved, anytime you put some kind of preservative, which is the private preserve I've talked about on the show, it keeps the wine fresher. Now, obviously, these aren't going to be your $20 Chardonnays. These aren't going to be your $40 Pinots that have to see a lot of time in oak. These are wines that are meant to be drunk young. They're meant to be drunk pretty much soon after they're bottled and out of the barrel. So Pinot Grigios will probably be a great addition. Sauvignon Blancs will be a great addition. I personally am looking forward to walking to a wine bar and seeing a tap handle of absolutely nothing but great varietals. Let's see, I'll have a glass of Chardonnay, I'll have a snifter of Sauvignon Blanc, I'll have a pint of Pinot Noir, and while you're at it, I'll have a growler of Grenache.
See? I think we just need to have a kegger here at the studios.
I thought that's what we did every day, and that's okay. How y'all put up with me.
That's right.
All right, we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up later in the Crush. Right now, we are going to take a small break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Eric Asimov of the New York Times.
Laura Lawson's back in a moment with more of The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to pack the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, helping enlighten you on new packaging and new ideas that are coming through in the wine world. Today, I'm going to have some great help with that. We've got Eric Asimov. He is the wine critic for the New York Times, and he just wrote a fascinating article called On Tap, How About Chardonnay or Pinot Noir? Eric, help us enlighten our listeners and tell us about Wine on Tap.
Well, I think wine on tap is a great idea, especially for restaurants and bars that are serving wine by the glass, because, as you know, the major problem with wine by the glass from the consumer's point of view is that the wine sat in the bottle for too long, is not fresh, is not in the best possible shape. From the restaurant's point of view, when that wine sits in the bottle long enough, they have to throw it out, so there's a lot of waste going around. But if you are using a tap system, which is just starting to show up here and there, it's kind of the very tip of a trend, you've got wine in a container that can keep it fresh, unaffected by air or oxygen, and therefore there's no time limit on it. It can last for weeks, if not months, without spoiling. And from everybody's point of view, that's desirable. And from the environmental point of view, you're not throwing out bottles and all kinds of packaging.
Well, that definitely does help people get a handle on things. I actually had read the same thing I believe you did about a Michigan vineyard they're starting to tap into draft wine. And it's interesting, Eric, I have spent entirely too many years in the wine business. And believe it or not, this is not a new concept. I will not tell you.
It's probably the oldest concept. Before anybody ever heard of you know, airplanes or air-conditioned ships shipping wine. You took the barrel by horse from the winery to the local tavern, tapped the barrel, and served it in the bar.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the Hospice de Beaune, you look at the Napa Valley Wine Auction, where people are buying full barrels of wine and taking them back to their restaurant and basically putting a kegerator on them. It does happen. Personally, have you had a chance to try any of the new wines on tap yet?
Yeah. And, you know, they taste like pristine examples of what they're supposed to taste like. In other words, a tap system is not going to make the wine better than it already is. It's just going to keep it fresh, and so it won't be diminished by sitting around.
Which certainly does help for our listeners. The whole concept is consider literally something that looks like a beer keg that you have picked up at some point in your lifetime, and it's based off of nitrogen. And because of the nitrogen, air can't get to it. And as we've talked about, air, vibration, and light are your three enemies of wine. And if wine can't get into the keg and it just has the nitrogen, it's going to stay fresh, and every tap you pull is going to be like that first glass when you open a bottle. But here's what's interesting. Eric, have you had a corked glass of kegged wine?
I don't think I ever will.
Actually, we were talking about that, my producer and I, and if TCA were to get in the keg, in the actual kegs, it could be possible to have a corked keg, couldn't it?
Absolutely, and you know, of course, a keg is not the answer to everything. I mean, if you've ever had draft beer, you know that the potential is there that the beer will be fresher and livelier. But many restaurants and bars don't know really how to care for a keg and tap system, and so the beer suffers. The same would be true of wine. If you start seeing it served like that all over the place, you're going to have to count on the people to know what they're doing.
What percentage of the people in the restaurants do you think are going to actually know what they're doing, though?
Well, right now, because it's so new, I think that you're seeing people who are extremely enthusiastic and dedicated to doing what's necessary, because they're going out and installing these devices for a reason, because they love wine and they don't want to see it suffer when you're serving it by the glass, and they also want to do away with waste of all kinds. So right now the quality is pretty good. If it gets to be fairly widespread, you know, you're going to have to be more careful.
I think it'll be fun to watch. Something I was mentioning earlier, 20 years ago when I was a sales rep, Inglenook and Taylor came in kegs. And then that slowly went by the wayside. And then you saw people get into the big boxes about 15 years after that. Well, now all of a sudden you're seeing that trend where you can get nice wines in a box. And apparently we're about to get nice wines in a keg. Do you think that helps to make wine more user-friendly?
Well, I think anything that improves the quality of wine or keeps wine from being served in a spoiled state is definitely more user-friendly. Anything that improves wine is going to improve its reception, make it easier to enjoy.
That's serving wine spoiled, right? Not spoiling, with serving wine to spoil people, correct?
Well, you know, you see it so often when people are given wine that if it's not corked, it's marred or flawed for some reason, and people don't realize it right away, and they're wondering what all the fuss about wine is.
Do you think that purists, the people who insist on having a bottle that has a cork in it to have it presented to them, are going to raise an outcry over the idea of the wine coming in kegs?
Well, you know, so-called purists, who cares what they think? I mean, you know, if somebody is against any alternative to the way wine was served 200 years ago or presented in a bottle 200 years ago, what are you going to do? It's hard to take a person like that seriously in a world of screw caps and all sorts of other things that can be very useful.
Well, most of those purists, I think, were alive 200 years ago, or they certainly act like it.
You know, I've been accused of being a purist myself sometimes, but I have nothing against technology benefiting wine and our experience of it. And you mentioned the boxed wines. I would love to see better quality wines served in those bag and boxes. I haven't seen very much of it, and I've been told so often that American consumers won't buy fine wine if it's served that way.
I have seen a different side of that, especially probably in the last 12 months. People are liking the box for the simple reason why I think restaurants and all of us are going to like the kegs. They get a greater bang for their buck in the sense that if I buy a box of Doghouse wine and I put it in my refrigerator and it holds four bottles, then I can drink over that during the whole week and a half. As opposed to having to buy four bottles, once again, putting the four bottles into my recycle bin and just hiding them from my neighbors again, but also having the chance that if I only want one glass of wine, it'll go bad. I think you're looking at a very cost-conscious consumer right now that is seeing the value. So I have watched some of the box wines start to take off again.
Well, I think that would be great, especially if the quality of those wines is improved. And, you know, personally speaking, it's fun to have a tap in your refrigerator and you can just put your glass under it. Maybe I'm easily amused, but I enjoy that.
That is not easily amused. It's a whole lot easier after your third glass of wine just to go press a button and then try and get that cork out of the bottle. You don't look as much of an idiot when you have your teeth around the bottle thinking, I know I just put that in there. Eric, if you had any advice for first-time wine drinkers or people who are learning about wine, obviously we're talking about going in restaurants to order Chardonnay off tap. What would you recommend them doing in going into a restaurant that doesn't quite have the tap system yet and has a lot of buy the glasses? What guidance do you give them?
Well, I would, first of all, suggest trying wine from a bottle with two people, just because you're going to have a more choice and potentially a better experience. I'm not a big fan of wines by the glass from, you know, when you have many choices like that, because I do think a lot of wines are sitting around. If that's not possible, I would ask which is the freshest wine, which is which do you have to open a new bottle for?
There you go. Make them work for it.
And I would make sure I try that wine with some with food, because I think that it's a very different experience to enjoy wine with dinner than it is to, say, sit in the bar before dinner and drink your glass of wine there.
Well, thank you. I'm sure our listeners will take a lot away from you. And thank you for joining The Crush. It's always fun to have someone with your pedigree to come in and be the one to talk about kegs and the future technology. I think it gives it a little more weight, and maybe people will stand up and pay attention.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, Eric. Hopefully we'll have you back on The Crush soon, and I'll give you a call as soon as I see the first tap handle in our market.
Will do.
All right. Well, I'm Laura Lawson. That has been Eric Asenoff with the New York Times. And right now we're going to have to take a small break, but we'll recap after this.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
8. We've worked together for years.
7. I'm the parking attendant. I park your car every day.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. We speak at PTA meetings all the time.
Including millions of children and seniors.
5. I went to summer camp with your son last year.
4. I'm your old friend. We went to high school together.
Someone you know is in need.
3. I work at the gas station. I pump your gas.
2. I'm your neighbor. Our kids are classmates.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help?
1. We live next door to each other.
You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we have just heard from Eric Azanoff. He is the critic for the New York Times, and he is helping us to push the whole concept of a wine keg. For those of you out there, I think it's a great addition. I think it'll be something interesting. But the first one of you who decide that you're going to have a kegger at your house with Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, please reach out for me. I would love to be there. 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or email us, info@winecrush.com. And after all, this is the show that's generally all about you. So that means we need to touch on some calls and some emails. And right now, we have a couple of interesting emails. We have heard from Karen in Vernon Hills. Karen writes, why is there a dent in the bottom of some bottles and not others? For those of you who are wondering what Karen is asking, next time you're in the champagne aisle or sparkling wine aisle, pick up a bottle and look at the bottom. There certainly is a dent in the bottom of the bottle. That is called a punt, kind of like drop back and punt as we see in football if it's ever football season again. But that is there. It started with champagne, and they used to put this in the bottle because when you had so much pressure inside a bottle and the glass was not consistent, the bottles would blow up, kind of like little hand grenades all over the place. It was Widow Clico who finally realized that it had to have something to do with the density of the glass, and by putting the punt in the bottom of the bottle, it gave it more surface area. The more surface area it had, the less likely it was going to blow up, because that way the pressure was spread all the way around the bottle. Now, you see that in red wine bottles a lot, too, and it serves another purpose. With these high-end Cabernets, with wines that are meant to throw sediment, meaning they're meant to age, the punt at the bottom of the bottle is a great place to catch the sediment so it can help sort things out and keep you from pouring a glass of sludge. I'm not really sure exactly how that works, considering if you've had the bottle, you age the bottle, you lay it down on its side, eventually all the sediment's going to be on the side, but I can see where it might have some hope. Well, Karen, I hope that helps, and now that you can understand the meaning of a punt, Just remember, it also makes a really, really good place to put your thumb when you're trying to pour that glass across the table. The Sommeliers Guild does not approve of that method, but trust me, it works well. Helps keep your wrist strength up. Well, as long as we are touching on sparkling wines, that means somehow we're talking about France. If we're talking about France, we're talking about champagne, and that means I have to find a new cause and a new reason to pick on the French. Unfortunately, there is no French in the news today, but Paris. Paris herself is in the news. This comes from One India Living. All right, get this. Hotel heiress Paris Hilton posed naked for Rich Prosecco, a wine advertisement. Hilton, showing off her sexy form in the ad to boost sales, failed to show off soaring results. The ultra-modern ad, presenting a nude Paris Hilton covering in gold paint, has not been showing good sales figures. In fact, the wine sales have declined. Even though she seems perfect advertising for our product, we have several new campaigns that have already been planned and are slowly in the works so that we can try and recover. So, Paris Hilton, there's our effort to the French, at least to our Paris. Posing naked actually discouraged wine sales. Kent, what are you buying about that?
It's just incredible.
Yeah, something about a naked woman. You think people would want to drink more.
I'm sorry, I got distracted there for a second. I'm sorry. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Worst wine you ever tasted?
Worst
swill that you ever had to spit into a potted plant? What was it?
Oh, good Lord. That happens probably more than I care to admit. I will give you some insight into my family, though. Once my family realized that I was serious in the wine business and I had achieved this title of expert, they decided to come out of the woodworks with their own personal wines that they would make. Now, understand, these wines were from blueberries, they're from strawberries, they were from muscadines, watermelon wine. Anyway, my uncle, bless his heart, he's 90 if he's a day, came up to me at a family reunion and say, "I hear you're this big shot wine advocate. Here, taste this. Tell me it's not the best stuff you ever tasted."
Oh, boy.
I took a big swig of that, and only after I got it halfway down my throat did he remind me that he had cut it with Everclear so he could get the alcohol content up. That is the closest I have ever come to actually spitting wine out on someone's shoes, not deliberately. So, yes, unfortunately, the worst wine I've ever had was a family creation, and I think I'll stay away from the rest of them. We do have sponsors and people we have to take care of.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, share with us here at The Crush your worst wine stories. We like to talk about best wine stories, but invariably the worst wine stories are the most interesting. Reach out to us, 877-4CRUSH1, or email us, info@winecrush.com. We always joke about bad wines. One of my best friends is also in the wine business, and it never fails. We always hoard the really, really good wine and won't let the other person taste it. But if something smells off or if it's really, really bad, the first thing we do is take the glass and go, "Oh my God, here, try this. It's terrible." And of course, we're stupid enough that we say, "Oh, sure, great," and take a big swig of it. I've never understood that. I swear we're demented. All right, we do promise the show is all about you, so I guess we should get back to your emails. And right now, I have one from Roger in Alpharetta. Alpharetta. "You mention varietals a lot. What is this and why is it so important?" Well, Roger, the last thing I want to do is confuse anyone. The word varietal is just an easy way to say grape or type of grape. So Chardonnay is a varietal. Cabernet Sauvignon is a varietal. Merlot is a varietal. It's a simple type of grape. So when you start talking about varietal wines, that just means that in that bottle of wine, 75% of the varietal on the label is that varietal. In other words, if I have a bottle of Chardonnay, 75% of that bottle of wine has to have been made from the Chardonnay grape. Chardonnay is the varietal. So hopefully I made that clear. I will take an abashed punishing. I should have explained that long ago in the show, but hopefully it'll clear it up. In fact, if you think about it, Roger, now say out loud your favorite varietal, Chardonnay. Good man, good man. Feel free to call us back. All right, we have another email. This is from Lisa in New Mexico. "What do I do with the cork when a waiter hands it to me in a restaurant?" Well, Lisa, that's directly proportional to how much Chardonnay you've consumed and if you like everyone in the restaurant. If you don't like people in the restaurants, corks bounce well, particularly off foreheads. But since you probably want to be invited back to that restaurant, it's always fun. This is one of the first things I learned in the wine business, that if you sit down at a table and someone hands you a cork, and you watch the person next to you smell that cork or pick it up and hold it up to their nose, chances are that person is a cork expert, because you can tell absolutely nothing about a wine by the way a cork smells. The whole point of being handed the cork is you want to put it in your hand. And when you put it in your hand, you're checking for a number of things. You're seeing if the cork is friable, F-R-I-A-B-L-E, meaning not that you actually fried it as a dinner entree, but you're seeing if it breaks apart in your hand. If it does that, chances are the wine may be bad. When you hold that cork in your hand also, you are checking for moisture. Is the cork wet? Is it soggy? That also is an indication that you may have problems with a bottle of wine. So the reason they hand you a cork, it's the first indication of what you can get out of the glass, out of the bottle. There is no reason to pick up the cork and sniff it. I have no idea where that started. I don't know where it came from. But bless their hearts, it seems like something that may have come off Gilligan's Island at some point. Anyway, so that's the proper procedure with the cork. Ideally, once you get done fondling it, the guy will just look at you, you nod at him, and he will pour you a sip to taste the wine. At that point, that's when you can hold it up to your nose, meaning the wine, and figure out if it has any faults in it. So fairly simple, fairly straightforward, but that is the whole guessing game with the cork. So now you can go out to your favorite restaurant and have a little bit of fun and look around and, ooh, who's smelling the cork and who's smelling the glass? That's how you can tell who knows what they're doing. Well, that is our gamut on emails today. Right now we have to take a small break, but when we get back, we are certainly going to enlighten ourselves a little bit further about the email we opened the show with as to why there's so many bottles of wine and not that many vineyards. So stay tuned.
We've got more Wine Crush coming up in a moment.
He took me to the Spotted Club at Hollywood and Vine. We drank champagne and we danced all night.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX. Performance you can feel.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your Chardonnay sipping diva. Having answered some of your emails, we have to ponder a little more on answering some of our questions. And in doing so, I'm going to recruit some help. I'm going to ask Jeff Smith, the founder of Helseyville Wine Company, to help explain to all of us why there's so many bottles on the shelves and only so few wineries. Jeff, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura. Very pleased to talk to you.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you on the show. You are a man who can answer a lot of our questions, so we have great hope for you.
Great.
Tell us all about tell me what Helseyville Wine Company does, and tell me and our listeners what a custom crush facility is.
Well, a custom crush winery is a winery which takes and receives grapes from independent growers or other wineries and produces a wine under certain specifications that we've been given. And what we do is we the wine and then actually release it to them, and what they'll do is put it under their label.
So basically, you take the grapes, you crush it, you bottle it, you put everything together, and that way other people can just put their labels on the bottle.
That's correct.
Now, are y'all the winemakers as well, or do people come in and sometimes consult on their own wines?
Well, what we do is we work with other wineries and other winemakers to comprise a certain style of wine that they've identified as something that is marketable for them. And, for example, we'll make one of the wineries is for Old River Road Winery. And what we'll do is we'll taste with their winemaker, Steve Ryan, and we'll blend a blend that he thinks he can market appropriately. And I get input on that because I sit down and taste with him. Then what we'll do is we'll blend, for example, the Cabernet Franc and Merlot together to be able to comprise a style which they've identified that they want to sell.
That's just amazing. I pulled this off your website. Custom wine services from crush to bottle. Grape sourcing, compliance, transportation, crushing, fermenting, juicing, whole cluster pressing, barrel fermentation, barrel storage, barrel aging, temperature control, stainless storage. You kind of do it all, don't you?
That's right. And what we've done is we wanted to be a leading winery here in Lake County, and we have become certified organic as a processor and a handler for growers that produce and grow organic grapes. What we do is we turn the organic grapes into organic wines for the organic market.
Question for you. If I wanted to do Laura Lawson Diva Chardonnay, could I come to you and say, hey, Jeff, I want to make a Laura Lawson Wine Crush wine. Would you do it for me?
Absolutely. There's some government regulations that you have to satisfy the requirements of. But, Laura, all you'd have to do is get on the Internet and reach us at KelseyvilleWineCompany.com.
Any of our listeners, any of us who don't know anything about wine, can have our own label. Do you have minimum amounts? If I wanted to make 20 cases, could I make 20 cases? Is there a set amount we could do?
Well, there is actually we have a 2 to 5 ton minimum.
Okay.
And a ton of grapes will yield about 160 to 180 gallons. But what we do is we work with the clients, and what we'll do is we'll find out really what style they want, and we'll select some oak that they like, whether it be French or American. And we'll really custom design wines for what their needs are and what they desire. We also do olive oil. What we did was we purchased this property last March, and we make extra virgin olive oil, and we take, on the same principle, custom crush olives for people and turn it into extra virgin olive oil.
That is just great. It falls in that category of basically anything you want, you can snap your fingers and get these days. Hey, question that's kind of outside of your scope. What percentage of wines coming out of California right now come from custom crush facilities, if you had to guess?
Probably about maybe as high as 20-30%, because a lot of the wineries will purchase from people like us. Their yields have fallen a little short. So what we'll do is we'll make up that difference in their shortage in the vineyard. Then they'll come to us and they'll taste our grapes, and they'll select perhaps something that'll complement their wines, either to blend or to their entire, their line of wines that they offer.
That is absolutely fascinating. I think you look at The Spectator, you look at shows like ours, and we talk about what the trends are in the business and how people are drinking. But ultimately, it comes down to, if you're looking at 30% of the wines out of California being done at a custom crush facility, I mean, Jeff, you have your hand on the pulse of how America drinks. You're in charge.
Well, we identified several years ago that particularly in our area, we needed to have a custom crush facility that met the needs of the brewers, which have lost a lot of the market share because a lot of the bigger wineries have canceled their contracts with them. So we're making up that difference to be able to give these grapes that would otherwise not even be harvested a home to actually defray the time that they would lose them. For example, if you don't pick grapes and they that's a loss immediately.
It is. And we can't have any lost grapes. That would just be heartbreaking. Well, Jeff, thank you very much for calling in and being part of the crush and educating our listeners a little bit about how some of these bottles can't have vineyards behind them. And for our listeners, obviously, there'll be a link to your custom crush facility on our website. So if any of our listeners get a wild hair and want to make their own bottle, they can.
Laura, and thank you. It was a pleasure talking with you.
All right, Jeff. We will definitely keep you up to date and find out what's going on out there.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, there it is. You want your own bottle? You want to be in the movies? There you go. That's a way to do it. Look for the custom crush facility in your neighborhood, and you too can have your own wine. Well, you too need to stick around because we have more exciting stuff coming up on The Crush. So stay tuned.
Laura Lawson's got more Wine Crush in just a moment.
She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Well, howdy! Thanks for coming to Big Bubba's. We got a mess of used cars. What can we do for you?
We're looking for,
something cute.
Well, here's a beauty. A 99 model with a moonroof. As a bonus, we'll throw in a leaking gas tank. You could be driving and kaboom! Adds that zing of excitement.
You got any other cars?
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
I'm I'm Laura Lawson, and you've been listening to the Wine Crush Radio Show, the show that's all about the grape in all its glory. And today we have definitely seen different sides of the grape. We have talked about grapes in kegs. We have talked about grapes put in bottles that don't come from wineries. And we've looked at different perspectives when it comes to the whole packaging and how you drink. But I'm going to get on my soapbox here at the end of the show because there's something going around that's going to affect how all of us drink. And I think it's fair time someone put a voice to the passion that the rest of us feel. For those of you watching the news and paying attention to taxes, you know that the sin tax is back. And when I say the sin tax, all of our legislators in different states and on a federal level are looking at putting further taxes on our alcohol, on our cigarettes, on our firearms. They think that these are sinful items, so they have lumped them under sin. Here's my question. If you can afford alcohol, if you can afford the luxuries in life, if you're going out and buying these, why should you have to pay taxes because they're seen as sinful? So if the nation wants a sin tax, let's take a good look at it. Let's use a baseline that all of us understand, and that would be the seven deadly sins. So if we are going to tax based on sin perspective, let's look at it this way. Why don't we look at lust, and why don't we put the taxes on porn magazines, on condoms, and on lingerie? If we are going to look at gluttony and the sin of gluttony, let's put taxes on foods with trans fats, pizza delivered late at night, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and donuts. If we are going to look at sin tax from greed, let's look at lottery tickets, new technology, five-bedroom houses when there's only one of you. Let's look at sloth, and let's look at a tax on bottled water, microwave dinners, housekeepers, or liposuction. How about wrath? Why don't we tax people who bring stupid, frivolous lawsuits into court to sue their neighbor? If we're going to look at sin, let's look at envy and tax the gossip rags and the country club memberships. And finally, if we're going to look at sin, let's look at pride and let's tax our salon visits, our manicures, our pedicures, our hair color, our gym memberships, our plastic surgery, and our Botox. These are things that are luxuries in life, but yet no one sees them as sinful. Well, from the way I look at it, it's nothing but sin, and certainly not my glass of Chardonnay at the end of the day when I get through helping all the people and touching all the people I can should ever be seen as sinful. So there is my soapbox today, and I encourage each of you in a state that has a tax in-house, complain. Whether you're paying 22 cents, $2.20, or in some states, $6 a bottle more for the wine that you enjoy, stand up and be counted and tell someone, no, you're not sinful. I'm Laura Lawson, and this has been The Wine Crush, and I'm reminding you from all of us here at The Crush, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, and most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth.